for those of you guys who missed. We have two men's events coming up. One is a men's breakfast coming up this Saturday. You can sign up for that out in the foyer. And the second is the men's retreat, which is in February. There's information in the foyer. We need deposits, or we need your money to save your spot by next Sunday. So grab yourself a Bible, open up to Proverbs chapter 15. I'm going to pray, and then we're going to get right into the word this morning. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we just thank you so much for this day. I thank you for each person that's here this morning. I pray, Lord, that now as we study your word, that it helps us to know you better, helps us to keep our focus on you, and helps us to understand who you are and what you've done in our place for our sins. So I'm thankful for each person that's come here this morning. I pray that you minimize distractions so we can pay attention and focus on you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. So today we're technically continuing a series that I started in 2009 when I used to just preach at the night service, and then we revisited it again in 2013, and now again we're going to deal with some more topics in the book of Proverbs. The purpose of the book of Proverbs is to know and to understand wisdom. To know and to understand wisdom. So not only do we want to know what wise choices are, what wise sayings are, what wise advice is, but we also want to understand it and use it in our everyday life. So today's topic that we're going to talk about is happiness. Let me, by show of hands, how many people in here want to be happy? Want to be happy? Come on. Seriously? Okay. I think everybody wants some degree of happiness. So my family and I, 2 weeks ago, we just came back from the happiest place on earth. There we are. Look how happy we are. Yeah, the extra member of the family, that's Mickey there if you haven't recognized him. And as I planned this sermon kind of before we left, and while I was in Disney, I was thinking like, okay, this is the happiest place on earth. But would I really be happy here if I wasn't here with my family? Would I really be happy here if I wasn't, if I was there alone? And some of you Disney fans are like, I would still be happy. I wouldn't, okay? I was happy because I was enjoying the time with my family. The second question I had to ask myself is this: would I be happy if I had no money? Well, I didn't get a picture of myself on the highway outside of Disney, but they don't let you in, okay? If you have no money, they don't let you in. There's nothing fun to do in Disney without money. And then the third question I ask myself is, would I really be happy if there was some unresolved or unsolved problem in my life? Would I really be happy in the happiest place on earth? And maybe it would be a little respite, a little rest from that problem, but knowing that I had to come back to that problem and that problem is not solved or that problem needed attention would probably steal some of the joy that I had when I was there. Because I realized this, Disney doesn't fix my problems. And I would venture to say that even at the happiest place on earth, there are people that are probably not very happy. And obviously, I know this is just a marketing technique. If you follow the Walt Disney Company, that's their marketing technique. They want people to be happy. They want to create happiness. Really, for lack of better words, they're selling happiness. So as we start our series in Proverbs, today what I want to do is I want to answer two questions for us. And the two questions are, what are the benefits of happiness? And the second is, what actually brings happiness? The reason why I want to talk about what the benefits of happiness are is, although many of you or most of you probably raise your hand, yes, you want to be happy, I don't know if you really fully understand that the Bible, in specific, the book of Proverbs, says there's extreme benefits of happiness or a blessed life. So I want to start there. What are the benefits of happiness? And the first one is this, attractiveness. And I'm not talking about looking like a model, but what I'm talking about is Proverbs 15:13 says this, a glad heart makes a cheerful face, but by sorrow of heart, the spirit is crushed. Have you ever come across a person that just looks miserable and they look mean? Have you ever come across that person? You're like, yeah, I live with them, okay? They're tough to be around, or I work with them. Who wants to be around that person? When you see a person, their countenance just looks mean, just looks nasty. Their just face just does not look like they're very welcoming. Do you run towards that person? Most logically thinking people run away from those types of people. They don't want to be near those types of people. So the truth of the matter is when we have joy, when we're happy, when we're blessed, we actually are changed. We actually look different. People actually are attracted to being around us. Think about it this way. Who do you want to be around in your life? Think about the people that you enjoy their company the most. How is their countenance? Are they happy? Do they smile? Are they somebody that you just can't get enough of being around because they're just so positive? I would say the answer to that is probably yes. Yes, you want to be around people like that. And the opposite is true. Many of us don't want to be around people that look miserable or act miserable. So attractiveness is a benefit of happiness. When we have that joy, all of a sudden, something in our countenance is changed. The second thing we'll find in Proverbs 15:15, and actually, you probably noticed I put the little addresses of the verses by each point because we're going to hit about a dozen verses. But the second thing we find in Proverbs 15:15, and that's this, quality of life. A benefit of happiness is quality of life. Let's look at Proverbs 15:15. It says this, all the days of the afflicted are evil, but the cheerful of a heart has a continual feast. See, a person that's not happy doesn't really look forward to tomorrow. They don't really look forward to tomorrow because they're not happy. And they just look at life and just say, well, yeah, tomorrow is going to be more of the same. They can't even make that jump and say, maybe tomorrow will be a better day. They're just like, tomorrow is more of the same. Unhappiness. Some of you have grieved a loss or grieved something in life. Realize, when are the tough times? It's morning and when? Night. Night, because you're so stressed out about the fact that you're thinking, I won't be able to sleep, and this darkness and just laying in my bed, thinking about my problems and thinking about my unhappiness is going to plague me all night. And morning, you wake up and you just think, this is not another day. Rejoice in the Lord and be glad in it. You just think, oh, more sorrow, more grief, more unhappiness. So here's what the Proverbs are saying. All the days of the afflicted are evil, but the cheerful of heart has a continual feast. See, when we have joy, when we're happy, all of a sudden, each day becomes a new day. Rejoice in the Lord and be glad in it. You're happy for that next day. The quality of life that you live is so much different than the quality of life that you would have lived when you were unhappy. Some of you are feeling this right now because you're like, you're right, I'm not happy and my quality of life stinks. I don't look forward to today. I don't look forward to tomorrow. And I don't look forward to next week because you know what? Nothing seems like it's going to change. See, a person that's happy has a positive outlook and they enjoy each day and look forward to the days that come. The third benefit of happiness is found in Proverbs 17:22, and it's actually physical health. There have been many studies done about how stress affects our health, as well as studies about how a positive outlook or positive or happiness will affect our health as well. So depending on what study you look at, it does seem like there's a direct correlation between happiness and health. And I know why. Listen to what Proverbs 17:22 says. It says, a joyful heart is good medicine, but a crushed spirit dries up the bones. A joyful heart is good medicine, but a crushed spirit dries up the bones. Does that mean if we're happy, we'll never get sick? Of course not. That does not mean that at all. Some of the happiest people I know have been sick, and some of them even were sick and died of that sickness. What you have to understand about the Proverbs is they're what we call truisms. They're true most of the time. But the truth of this passage is this. When we are positive and have a happy outlook on life, it actually affects our physical health. And you know what? Modern science and medicine have found this to be true. We know this to be true because the wisdom of the scriptures. So these are three benefits of happiness. But knowing these benefits, the next question we really have to answer is then what brings happiness? If there's benefits, I want to know the answers, right? I want to study the scriptures and find out the answers. But before I answer this question, you might be thinking to yourself, well, why don't you answer the question, what makes us unhappy? Why don't you answer that question? And that's an easy answer. You all know what makes you unhappy. You dwell on those things day in and day out. Reminds me of one time I was talking to a friend of mine who hated his job. And I said, well, why do you hate your job? This is exactly what he did. He reached for his wallet, pulled out his wallet. Inside his wallet, he pulled out a piece of paper and unfolded it. And he goes, reason number one, the break room smells and it's dirty. Reason number two, my boss, he literally listed all the things that he hated about his job and kept it as a reminder, okay? As a reminder. That's weird, isn't it? Okay? But many of us do that, right? We rattle off daily the things in our life that make us unhappy. So what I want to do is I want to remind us what truly brings happiness. So then a question is this, is there one thing that brings happiness? And I believe the answer to that is no. I believe it's a compilation of things that are true. And for that matter, the interesting part about it is we can always find happiness somewhere in our lives. Because if it's a compilation of things that can make us happy, no matter where we look, we'll always be able to find something that will make us happy and focus in on it. So when surveyed in a Harris poll, 2,500 Americans were surveyed, and only 33% of those Americans said that they were happy. So interestingly enough, what they found was there were some commonalities in these people that said that they were happy, and it was actually their age. So here's what this study found. The happiest age group, are you ready for this? The happiest age group were people over 65 years old. Is that surprising to you? That might be surprising to you. It was surprising to me. The second happiest age group were people 50 to 65 years old. The third happiest age group are the people 18 to 24-year-olds. The fourth happiest age group were 25 through 29-year-olds. The fifth happiest age group were 30 to 39-year-olds. And in dead last place was my age group, 40 to 49-year-olds, okay? There are various factors to why this is true. But most would agree, it seems like those between 30 and 49, which is supposedly the least happiest age group, are realizing the things that they wanted to do, the things that they wanted to achieve, the things that they want in life will likely not happen. Whereas the people over 50 are like, I'm fine with it. It hasn't happened, and I'm fine with it. The people in 18 to 24-year-olds are like, it can happen. Well, as a 41-year-old, I want to tell you, it can, okay? It's not happening. I'm just kidding, okay? I don't want to squelch your dreams. So what are the things that people said made them happy, okay? We have these age groups and stuff, and that's not to say that if you're 30 to 49, you're not happy. But this is what they found in the study. So what are the things and the events and the happenings that bring people happiness? And this is what the common person says, that has nothing to do with the scriptures right now. This is what the common person says are things that make them happy. Number one on the list, family and relationships. Number two, meaningful work. Number three, positive thinking. Number four, gratitude. Number five, forgiveness. Number six, generosity. Number seven, religion. Number eight, personal freedom. Number nine, good health. And number 10, this is odd and out of nowhere, watching TV. Watching TV. I guess that's the escape. But notice, on that list, we don't find material possessions. We don't find a lot of money. We don't find these things. This is people, that average people surveyed. So obviously, I can't argue with this because this is what people say makes them happy. If you ask somebody what makes you happy and they say this, I can't say, no, it doesn't. Okay, it does, okay? This is what the people are saying. But what do the Proverbs actually say about what brings happiness? And are there parallels in here? Are there parallels? Do the Proverbs agree with what these people are finding? And I would suggest, yeah, there are some parallels, but there are some things that are kind of missing that the Proverbs say brings us happiness. So let's look. What brings happiness? The first thing is this, a relationship with the Lord. And I know on the list it said religion, but more specifically, a relationship with the Lord are what the Proverbs teaches brings us happiness. And the first thing that we have to understand about that relationship with the Lord, the first thing that brings happiness is our salvation. Proverbs 15:30 says it this way. It says, "The light of the eyes rejoice the heart, and good news refreshes the bones." The first thing I really want to talk about in our relationship with the Lord is the way that you enter into a relationship with the Lord is through trusting in Jesus Christ. The Bible tells us this, we're all sinners and we need a Savior. Jesus Christ was that Savior, and he died on the cross to pay the price for our sins. Jesus Christ rose again to prove that he was God, and he told us, everyone who believes in him will have eternal life. Like the Proverbs say, light to the eyes rejoices the heart. The Bible says that before we knew Christ, we were blind, but now we see. Before we knew Christ, we were dead, but now we're alive. Before we knew Christ, we were lost, but now we're found. Light to the eyes rejoices the heart, and good news refreshes the bones. I hope that's good news for you. I hope that's good news. That's how you start a relationship with the Lord, by trusting that Jesus Christ paid the price for your sins. But you know what? Our relationship with the Lord doesn't stop there. Okay, it's not like, okay, cool, I'm going to heaven now, I'm saved, and I have my salvation. Because you know what else brings happiness? Is trusting him daily. Proverbs 16:20 talks about that. It says this, "Whoever gives thought to the word will discover good, and blessed or happy is he who trusts in the Lord." See, knowing that God is in control should bring a certain degree of happiness to us. You know, some of you are going through very difficult times right now. Things that you have no control over, things that are happening to you, around you, with you, whatever it is. And you know what? It's trying to steal your joy. It's trying to take that happiness away. You don't feel very blessed right now. When I talk about being happy and being blessed, you're thinking to yourself, well, you know what? I don't feel that way. I don't feel that way. Well, what the scripture says, you know what? Do you want to feel that way? Trust him daily. Know that he has control. Go to him in prayer. Give these things up to him in prayer. Know that he loves you and he wants good for you. And this life is not all there is. There is eternal life, which we celebrate in our salvation, but we can trust him daily, knowing that we will inherit that eternal life. If we will inherit that eternal life, we know that in this life, we can trust him. Don't let it end with, yeah, I'm a Christian. Now let's live my regular life. Trust him daily. The third component of a relationship with the Lord has to do with our obedience. Proverbs 28:14, you can just listen. It says this, "Blessed is the one who fears the Lord always, but whoever hardens his heart will fall into calamity." See, when we obey the Lord, it shows that we fear and respect the Lord, and we believe what he says. That actually brings happiness. See, when we walk away from the Lord, the scripture there says the hardness of our heart will bring calamity or distress or troubles into our life. Have you ever had a time in life where you just weren't living for the Lord? You were just walking away from him. You were just doing what you wanted to do. And those things, maybe you were doing what you wanted to do because you thought that it would make you happy. But then the big surprise was, what I thought was going to make me happy actually made me miserable, actually made me upset, actually made me realize what I was doing wrong, actually made things hurt. There was some discipline coming my way. There was some consequences coming my way. You know what the scriptures say about our relationship with the Lord? The Lord disciplines those he loves. So mark my words on this one. You walk away from the Lord, he's going to discipline you because he loves you. And that discipline might be painful for a time, and it's not going to make you happy. But when you return to listening to him, that's when you find happiness again. I mean, think about it this way. The best illustration for us is human relationships with parenting, right? You discipline your child. Why? Not because you want to squelch all their fun and you want to, like, be mean to them. You do it because you know that what they've done is not good for them and won't help them, so you discipline them. So a relationship with the Lord consists of our salvation, us trusting him daily, and our daily obedience to him. So I believe happiness begins with our relationship with the Lord. But now we continue on. What else brings happiness? What do the scriptures say? What do the Proverbs say about what brings happiness? The second thing is wisdom. Proverbs 3:13 talks about that. Proverbs 3:13, it said, if you're taking notes, all the addresses of the scriptures are up there, but if you'd like to follow along and you're quick enough, Proverbs 3:13 says this about wisdom. Blessed is the one who finds wisdom and the one who gets understanding. Happy is the one who finds wisdom and happy is the one who gets understanding. The purpose of the book, what we read these Proverbs for, is to find out what the wisdom of the scriptures are. You know, some suggest even this with Proverbs. It's kind of all over the place when you read through the book of Proverbs, right? It's topical. It's all over the place. Some suggest that because there's 31 Proverbs on a normal 31-day month, it's good to read, you know, a chapter of Proverbs each day. Maybe you could start that tomorrow. I'm sure you're going to be messed up at the end of February when there's only 29 days, but you can read a couple of chapters ahead. But here's the point. The more we search for God's wisdom, the happier we become. We start to understand who he is and what he's done. Proverbs 3:18 says this, she, talking about wisdom, is a tree of life to those who lay hold of her. Those who hold her fast are called blessed. Not only do we search for it, but we're blessed when we hold fast to it. You know what, when I read the scriptures, it's so amazing how timeless the scriptures are. How timeless and how, you know, some people say, oh, that's an old ancient book. It's an ancient text that is useful for all ages, for every age. You know, when I think about this wisdom and happiness issue, this could be one of the main reasons why the people surveyed, over 50 came to be happier than those who are younger, because they've gained wisdom over the years. They've applied these things over the years. They've learned how to deal with discouragements. They've learned how to navigate their days when their days weren't going the way that they thought they should. Those that are younger might not have had that time in their scriptures, might not have had that time applying the wisdom, not gaining those wise sayings of the Lord. The next thing that makes us happy are accomplishments. Proverbs 13:19 says this, a desire fulfilled is sweet to the soul. A desire fulfilled is sweet to the soul. We were made to work and produce, weren't we? Do you realize that? When God created, he created us to work and produce. That's what he did. Okay? Work being hard was part of the fall, but work and production was part of God's creation of us. Think about it this way. When God created, did he find pleasure in his creation? Of course he did. He looked and said, yeah, this is good. Think about your life. When you accomplish something, when you use the gifts, talents, and abilities that God has given you and you accomplish something, do you feel happy? Are you pleased with your work? There's nothing wrong with that. There's nothing wrong to look and say, I'm pleased with this. I fixed that. I helped that person. I did this or I did that. Think about little kids. You know, when they come up to you with their coloring page and they color it all out of the lines and stuff, and they're like, look what I made. And you're like, yikes. And then you're like, good job. You know, good job. Well, it's not just the encouragement of good job, but they accomplished something and you're recognizing their accomplishment. They felt good and happy about what they've done. Same thing with us. Same thing with us. That's why meaningful work made the list. Because people want to know that what they've done made some kind of difference, that they've accomplished something. And let me just make a comment there. Some of you might feel like your work is not meaningful. And I've said this before and I'll say it again. The scriptures tell us that no matter what you're doing, do it unto the Lord. So if you feel like it's a meaningless job, you can find meaning in it when you do it unto the Lord. That's your task, to figure out how to do it unto the Lord, because you're walking in your shoes every day. But let me just tell you, you can have the most meaningless job in the world's eyes that could be the most meaningful in the Lord's eyes. You get that? When you do it in view of him. The next four things that bring happiness really have to do with relationships. And you know what? The scriptures tell us this. It is not good for a person to be alone. And some of you are thinking, I would only be happy if I was alone, okay? Well, no, you wouldn't, okay? It is not good for a person to be alone. So the next four things that we're going to deal with have to do with interactions with other people. And those interactions can either bring happiness or bring misery. And unfortunately, many of us had the bring misery thing more often than the happiness thing. But notice this, in that list, remember, what was the first thing? Does anybody remember? It was family and relationships. It was the first thing that everybody across the board said brings them happiness. So the first thing is this, treating others well. Proverbs 12:20 says this, deceit is in the heart of those who devise evil. But those who plan peace have joy. Those who plan peace have joy. As Christians, we should be the type of people that are always thinking of ways to have peace with other people. We should always be planning how we can have peace with other people. Unfortunately, sometimes the tables are turned and we think of ways to get back at other people. Rather than planning peace and treating other people well, we just think of, well, that person hurt me and they made me feel miserable. How can I hurt them and make them feel that way as well? So instead of planning peace, we plan misery. Proverbs 15:23 says this, to make an apt answer is a joy to a person and a word in season, how good it is. Think about that for a second. Think about how you treat other people. Think about the words that you say to them. Some of you are here right now and you have grown up in an environment where the words that other people have said to you have just brought misery to your life. And it's very hard for you to find it in yourself to say nice things to other people because that's how you were brought up. You were brought up in a broken environment, so you'll continue to act broken. Well, what I'd like to say to you is, that brokenness is just going to bring more misery into your life. But you, with the help of the Holy Spirit, can actually change that and start to think, how can my words and my actions bring peace and happiness to other people? How can I treat them well? Everyone can do this. With the help of God's Holy Spirit, everyone can actually do this. So think about that. You know, the world might tell you when you treat other people badly, you'll get some kind of sick pleasure out of it. The problem is that's not true, and that's a lie. The truth is that when you treat people well, you experience happiness. Think about those at work tomorrow, those in your family, those in school, that you need to treat the way that you would like to be treated. They're not treating you the right way, but I'm not saying based on that. The Lord's saying treat them well, treat others well, first to the family of faith, then treat those outside the family of faith well as well. The next thing kind of goes along with that, and that's forgiveness. This made the list, didn't it? You remember hearing that? This kind of made the list. Forgiveness. Proverbs 19:11 says this, good sense makes one slow to anger, and it is to his glory to overlook an offense. Good sense makes one slow to anger, and it is to his glory to overlook an offense. See, as Christians, we find happiness in forgiving other people. See, we all realize that not forgiving other people will not make us happy. We might be conned into thinking that, like, oh, I'm going to hold that against them. I'm going to make them pay for what they've done to me. But you know what? That just makes your heart harder, and that doesn't make you happy. So good sense makes a person slow to anger. So that means a person with good sense and is seeking from wisdom from the Lord will say, you know what? I'll give this person the benefit of the doubt. You know what? Maybe they didn't mean to hurt me. Maybe even if they meant to hurt me, maybe something inside them is hurting. You know, we always teach our kids this. You know, somebody makes fun of you at school and stuff. We say, you know, it's probably because they're hurting inside. Something's going on. Not everybody is as blessed as you are. So maybe they're hurting. Maybe something's going on with their parents or their brother or their sister or financially. Something's going on. They're hurting inside. So they're trying to hurt you. But our job as Christians is to forgive. Now, some of you are saying, Well, you don't know how they've hurt me. So you don't walk in my shoes. You asking me to forgive this is ridiculous. Well, here's what I would appeal to you with. Christ forgave you. Christ forgave you in all your sins, in all your willful disobedience towards him. He forgave you. He's the model of forgiveness that you need to look for. And I can tell you what, if you withhold forgiveness, here's what's going to happen. You're just going to be miserable. You're going to be miserable. When you let go of those things, you're going to be freed. The next is generosity. Proverbs 14:21 says it this way. Whoever despises his neighbor is a sinner, but blessed is he who is generous to the poor. Do you know the only people that disagree with this are people that are not generous? Generosity doesn't make you happy. You don't give anything. That's why. You don't know. You don't understand. Most of you realize this. Most of you realize when you let go of things on behalf of other people, there's a degree of happiness that comes into your life. You're just like, wow, I helped that person. I was generous to them. I helped them. But see, greedy people, people that are not generous, look and say, no, that doesn't even make any sense. But notice, remember our list? That was a list from secular people, worldly people. Did material possessions or money even make the list? You know, some of the world would say this, collect stuff and keep it for yourself. And logically, some of us are thinking, yeah, you know, even that we work, we get paycheck, we do our stuff. But what God's economy is actually saying is the more I bless you, the more you bless others. The more I bless you, the more you bless others. This is an amazing spiritual truth that we have to learn as Christians. And guess what? The more generous you are, the happier you will become. You'll feel more blessed in the fact that you are sacrificing what you have on behalf of other people. But the final thing that brings happiness, relationally speaking, is something called legacy. Proverbs 23:24-25 says this, the father of the righteous will greatly rejoice. He who fathers a wise son will be glad in him. Let your father and mother be glad. Let her who bore you rejoice. Those of you who had children, or those of you who aspire to have children one day, or those of you who are parenting right now, you probably remember that you're holding that baby the first time. Maybe it was your first kid you remember distinctly. Maybe it's all of them. But you remember, I don't think there's anyone in this room, I sure hope there's no one in this room, I don't think there's anyone in this room that looked at that kid and said, I hope this kid causes me so much grief and so much pain. I hope this kid is a train wreck and a pain in the neck for my whole entire life. Nobody does that, okay? Everybody has high hopes and aspirations for their children. Why? Because they know that if their child does what they want them to do, they will be what? Happy. The child will be happy, the parent will be happy, and everybody's happy, right? It's your legacy. Well, here's the point. Proverbs 10:1 says this, a wise son makes his father glad, but a foolish son is a sorrow to his mother. The point is this, as a parent, now we look at our kids and we say, okay, I want to leave a legacy. You know what my prayer for this church is? And it's always been this. It's always been this. Not only that we will do right by the Lord while we're here, but we'll continue to pass down that legacy. If Jesus doesn't return for 300 or 400 years, I want this church to be a light to the community. The only way that's going to happen is not making this church a great church. It's making you and myself great Christians that leave a legacy for the next generation so they can leave a legacy for the next generation so they can leave a legacy for the next generation and so on and so forth so we can impact this community. So when you leave a godly legacy for your children, it brings happiness. Well, let me ask you this question. What are you doing to leave a godly legacy? Next week, we're going to help you with that. The topic that we're going to deal with next week is parenting. And some of you are like, it's too late. Well, here's the thing. If you're in that age group and you have grandkids or great-grandkids even, please don't skip church next week because there's something that's going to be helpful for you. If you're a young person and not even married yet and thinking, this is going to be real helpful for me next week, here's what I'd like to say to you. Take diligent notes because you have something that none of us have anymore. You have a clean slate, okay? A clean slate to start off fresh. Imagine knowing everything that you need to do with your children before they even are in your care. You could be praying for those children that you will one day have, that you can leave a legacy for them. And guess what? I can tell you what. I'll be the first to say, one of the things about parenting, it's a huge challenge. But another thing about parenting, it's a huge blessing. And when you see your children follow in and trust in the Lord and serve the Lord and seek after the Lord, there is nothing that brings that kind of blessing. There is nothing besides that that brings that kind of blessing. So next week, we're going to find out what the Proverbs have to say about that legacy. So the Proverbs really do this. They tell us this. They tell us the benefits of happiness, and they tell us what brings happiness. Let's pray together. Heavenly Father, we just thank you so much for this day. Lord, I thank you that you value a blessed life. You want and desire for us to experience blessing and happiness. But we know, Lord, that that comes and only starts with a relationship with you. Lord, we know that when we focus in on your word and hold true to its teachings, Lord, that it will help us in that pursuit. Lord, I pray for each person here, and I pray especially for those who might not experience the relationship that they need to with you. They might not have experienced that yet, and I just pray, Lord, that they would trust in you. I pray for the rest of us who have trust in you. Maybe we've kind of got off track, and we're pursuing our own desires, and we're trying to make ourselves happy in ways that you haven't described in your word. I pray, Lord, that we would come back, that we would focus our attention on you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.